Chapter 10, Intrapersonal Communication. Intrapersonal communication, the communication within oneself. Intrapersonal communication, the communication with oneself. Here the communication within our mind moves from the unconscious to the conscious level. The sensations as well as the thoughts are a part of the communication within yourself. For example, you have a meeting tomorrow. So today, all day, you are thinking as to how the meeting should start, what are the important points that should be put forward, what is it ideally that you would want to convey. So all the thoughts related to the meeting which will ideally take place tomorrow. There could be no logical order or sequence to your thought process there. When you talk of intrapersonal communication, it is a part of interpersonal communication. Inter, I-N-T-E-R. That means while talking to you, one could have thoughts in relation to another project at that juncture. Thoughts and idea that flow within the mind are influenced by the person's temperament, emotions, experience, knowledge, opinions, values, views, and attitudes. What is temperament? The manner in which a person reacts, the manner in which the person behaves. The focus is also here on emotions, experience, knowledge. All our thought processes are based on a lot of other aspects. Emotions, of course, ideally, are a part of a thought process. There may be times where you would ideally only think rationally, but there are times where rational thinking along with emotional thinking takes place. That means thoughts and logic along with feelings. Also, one very important aspect with intrapersonal communication. It is based on our views, attitudes, and values. It has a lot to do with our entire thought process in relation to various experiences in our lives. Intrapersonal communication can be improved to some extent by conscious effort, self-awareness, and constant watch over oneself. Now, how do I ideally improve my communication with somebody whom I don't get along with? I first and foremost need to remove the barriers I have in my mind. I first and foremost need to focus on the feelings here that ideally I should relate with him or her as my colleague, rather than letting emotions overtake me. So, when we talk of intrapersonal communication, self-awareness is one important aspect. What is self-awareness? That I take complete control of my prejudices, biases. How? After getting aware. That means first, that awareness comes to my mind. That means I get in touch with my thought process and my feelings. So I get aware. And then I decide I've got to improve on this. So the thought process and feelings which are generated in my mind, that ideally needs to be looked into. The thought processes and feelings at that juncture could be the prejudices and biases. Maybe anger. It needs to be looked into and thus controlled. Readiness to understand other people's point of view can help to broaden the mind. Very important. Whatever situation is there, I need to look into the other person's thought process. I need to understand what the opposite person or group of people think or feel, or think and feel, because that will help me understand their thought process better. And when you put in effort to understand an opposite person or a group of people, their thought processes, then it gets easier for me to deal with my own thoughts too. Well thought out mental preparation is necessary before appearing for an interview. Say if you have to go for an interview tomorrow. You could spend all day worrying today, or you can actually prepare yourself for a better tomorrow. How? Maybe you could read a book whereby they discuss what are the kind of questions which are asked. Maybe ideally you could watch some video clips where people talk confidently. Maybe a video clip on motivation. So ideally you remain enthusiastic the next day. So when you talk of intrapersonal communication, very important aspect that the focus should be on me to remove my barriers and biases. Feelings of fear or nervousness, person's motives and such other unpleasant feelings influence intrapersonal communication. Say if you have to talk with the person at top management in the organization. You have done your homework well. That means you've prepared what exactly are the points you want to discuss. Somewhere you fear. Fear various reasons to it. Maybe not as fluent while talking. Maybe lack of confidence. Maybe not prepared effectively, whereby the doubts or queries which are put forward are answered inappropriately by you. So fear or nervousness. Then when you talk of intrapersonal communication, they will interfere with your effective communication. That means the thoughts which flow within your mind, that will interfere with effective communication, especially if those thoughts are maybe not positive, especially if those thoughts are ideally linked to a low self-esteem. So you have got to understand that you first become aware of these thoughts, which ideally in the long run can create a low self-esteem, which ideally in the long run may not have a positive impact on you, so a negative attitude. So it is extremely important to focus on these thought processes. We must be aware of our own attitudes, perceptions and values. That is one important aspect. I must constantly introspect. In fact, it is said it is necessary to introspect. In fact, it is said it is necessary to introspect every day for a few minutes, because it will help you to understand yourself better, your thought processes better. And when you can handle your own thought processes and your emotions, it becomes easier to handle the opposite person's thought processes and emotions. One very important aspect of intrapersonal communication, self-awareness. Why do we discuss self-awareness? Because the moment I introspect, the moment I get aware, then even a very tough situation or a stressful situation will probably fall in place, because I am aware as to how to deal with that situation. Attitude. What is attitude? The way we think, feel and behave. When we talk of attitude, one major aspect is that to have a positive attitude, even though we are facing challenging situations. Because the way we think and feel, that is portrayed in our behavior. So, to have a positive thought process in the most challenging times can ideally prove to be beneficial in the long run. Attitude is a way of thinking, feeling or behaving, which is formed at an early age and are learned from the adult world around us. When we talk of attitude, yes, the people we are surrounded by, So going by the environment, the immediate surrounding, our thought process, that means as we advance in age, it could be our thought process, experience, knowledge. So ideally when you talk of attitude, even though it is formed at an early age, as we move ahead in life, we can develop a more positive attitude depending on the circumstances, situation, people. Shyness, hesitation, self-depreciating tone shows the negative self-image and a low self-esteem, which clearly affects the success of communication. When you talk of these traits, shyness, feeling shy, the fear, hesitation in terms of wanting to talk when you ideally have exceptional ideas to put forward. Say it's a conference. You have a lot of ideas which are definitely going to be effective if implemented. But somewhere, that inability to communicate because you're feeling shy, because there is little fear in your mind. The kind of fear depends on your thought process again. What if you say something and if you make a mistake, how will others respond or react? So all those aspects, self-depreciating tone. When I talk of self-depreciating tone, the way I talk, ideally, I do not portray or show that I'm having a positive image about myself. That's why they say a low self-esteem. What is self-esteem? How worthy, W-O-R-T-H-Y, how worthy you feel yourself to be. Ideally, when you talk of self-esteem, how would you ideally think or have a positive or a high self-esteem? It is based on a lot of aspects. Now, first and foremost, you need to focus on all these points to develop a positive self-esteem or to maintain a healthy self-esteem. Quietly celebrate your achievements. That means always take pride in your achievements. Yes, when we say take pride, we've got to be humble, down to it. But at the same time, feel happy that we have achieved our objectives. Take pride in your strength or strengths. That means, for example, we all have some or the other positive points which, if implemented, ideally can help us achieve our goals. So, what are they saying out here? That we take pride in that. We ideally focus on what we have and work in that direction. See, very often, or rather it couldn't be very human to focus on what we don't have. So, when you talk of positive self-esteem, we focus on what we have because that will help us move ahead. Think of your positive qualities and attributes. Very important. If I ask you right now, give me 5 strengths. You should have 5 strengths there, ready. If I ask you, give me 5 weaknesses, that ideally should not come to 8. Why? Because very often we find it easier to discuss our weaknesses than our strengths. So we need to focus on our strengths. Set achievable standards. When I set standards for myself, I should set standards which I know they are challenging, but I will achieve them. It is going to be a challenge, of course, but I have that confidence, that positive self-esteem, that I will achieve those goals or standards. Know your weaknesses. Yes, whatever are my flaws, F-L-A-W-S, I should focus on them and work towards improving them. Focus only to that extent where I know that this is a flaw, but I need to work towards improving it. For example, you know or you're aware that you're not punctual. So, how would you get to being punctual? Always assume that you have to reach 10 minutes prior. So if you have an appointment with a doctor at 2 o'clock, you have to assume that your appointment is at 1:45. So you keep that as a target in your mind. Because the moment you assume that you have to reach there at 2, it can become 2:10, 2:15. But if you go with that thought process, I have to reach there by 1:45. What are you doing? You're working towards improving your weaknesses. Judge yourself against your peers. Yes, I can compare myself with my peers. But ideally, what is best in life? Compare yourself to yourself. When I compare myself with somebody, I have to compare myself with somebody who is not the best, because to reach that level, I need to ideally put in much, much more effort. So I gradually climb the ladder of success. So I will need to take some time to reach there. But when I say compare yourself to yourself, take for example the situation today. In terms of academics, do you see academic progress? So what are you doing? You see yourself in the last 2 years and today. So it is very important that you compare yourself to yourself. Yes, when they say judge yourself against your peers, it is extremely important that you do take into consideration that your peers are doing better than you. Yes, what can I do to reach that level? Spend time with supportive and motivating people. Very important. Be surrounded by people who are positive minded. Be surrounded by people who are enthusiastic, who are motivating. Be surrounded by people who are supportive of your ideas and views. But at the same time, if they're critical of your ideas and views, it is up to you whether you want to learn from that or you want to accept that as a criticism and move away. Be always in the flame of enthusiasm. This we consider ideally most important, because what you think and feel is your behavior ultimately. So always feel enthusiastic about work. Always feel enthusiastic and involved with what you do. And last one, consider your critics to be your coach. We just discussed 2 minutes back, right? That if anyone criticizes me, it's up to me ideally to accept that as a criticism and learn from it, or it's up to me to feel that people have criticized me and move away and not do anything about it, because that is a choice I will make. Attitude towards subject matter. Interest and prejudice play a role in our attitude to certain subjects, topics and issues. That means when you're in your organization, say there's a meeting going on, a project is being discussed, you're not a part of the project, so you have no interest in it. You were meant to be a part of the project, but due to certain issues, you're not in that project anymore. So prejudice, biasness, prejudice and biasness overtake you and your thought processes. So what is your reaction at that juncture? You seem least interested. You have an angry look over your face, which is shown easily. So when we talk of attitude towards subject matter, also depends on your interest, your level of enthusiasm, and do you feel that it is absolutely fine for you to get involved or not. An open mind makes for a useful discussion. So that's one aspect which needs to be looked into. That means even though you're not interested, if you go with an open mind, you would always be enthusiastic and interested to listen, to be with the flow of communication, and to give ideas and views when and if required. Although we have all our areas of interest, it is important to have an open mind towards other subjects and have people's views. Have people's views, that means it is absolutely required that I have the ability to understand what other people say, what are the kind of views they have. Say we have a discussion. It is important that I keep an open mind where I'm willing to discuss, relate, share ideas, views, even though it may not involve me, even though it may not be of great interest to me. Because ideally as an individual, I should be involved. Ideally as an individual, I should not feel that this is a subject which is ideally I should not feel that this subject is of no interest to me. I should feel that I can also contribute in this field. Attitude towards receiver. Our opinion of the receiver's intelligence and ability to understand affects the way we formulate the message. Say I'm talking to a group of people. Now, when I'm talking to a group of people in my organization, receiver's intelligence, first and foremost, I should never underestimate anybody. But at the same time, I should be able to convey in the simplest manner so that the message goes across. That ideally can only happen if I do not have my preconceived notions there. The ability to understand affects the way we formulate the message. So clarity as far as my sentence is concerned or sentences are concerned, and conciseness, being to the point. So it becomes easier for the receiver to interpret, to understand, to absorb and retain. Then it comes to evaluating, being judgmental, and it moves ahead. A communication with that person is affected by this attitude of distrust. Careful examination of one's attitude to oneself, to other individuals, and to various issues often reveals one's prejudices. That means when I'm communicating to you, ideally it is based on mutual understanding and trust. But if you have a fixed thought process whereby you feel that the person is continuously giving us information, I'm sure I have something better on mind and I will implement that. It could be ideally because you feel that the person who's ideally the sender in this case is not giving appropriate information. Maybe you would not really trust the person with his or her ideas. Or maybe you feel that ideally you know better being the receiver. Of course, this is individualistic. When we say individualistic, it's all about the various thought processes of various individuals. But ideally, when we say attitude towards receiver, it should be based on trust. And in a manner whereby we have a common goal, that means the sender and the receiver. The common goal is achievements of goals or objectives. Knowledge level. When we talk of knowledge level, what are we ideally trying to put forward? Subject matter. To be able to communicate usefully, both persons must know enough about the subject. The person may omit the important aspect or vital detail due to lack of subject knowledge, resulting in unproductive communication. We both as individuals, when we are discussing a particular subject, we need to keep ourselves updated. One very important aspect of effective communication is that we should keep ourselves updated constantly. It is a never-ending process. So that when we keep ourselves updated, we have a lot of information to share. When we keep ourselves updated, this continuous flow of information, exchange of ideas, which ideally gives a positive outcome. Next one, the channel of communication. When I say channel of communication, it depends on our understanding of different media and their impact. Ideally, face-to-face communication gives immediate feedback. But the channel of communication is considered most important. When we say channel of communication, if it is not possible to meet, say, face to face, then of course talking over the telephone or the mobile can be beneficial. That time the tone is ideally a skill, because your tone will portray what you want to say in which manner. That means if you want to put stress on certain words, certain situations, give priority to certain aspects, if you want to be a leader, or if you are a leader, if you are a leader whereby you want to give instructions, you want to be direct to the point, then of course the tone will say it all. But medium depends of course on various factors, such as availability of a place if it has to be face to face. So it depends on various factors. Target audience. The more we take time to think about and understand the receiver, the better tailored the message will be to the knowledge and needs of the receiver. Now, see, if I have a heterogeneous group, people from all walks of life, people with varied thought processes, people with different ideas and mindset, then ideally, I need to first figure out who is the target audience, what is it that I'm trying to convey to them. See, our company decides to launch a product. We had decided this 6 months back. Now, when the date has come closer, date for launching of the product, there is a recession. In spite of that, we go ahead with the launching of a product. Why? We feel it is not a high-end brand, so recession will not affect the sales. So how do I yet focus on convincing the target audience that ideally the purchasing power will continue to remain the same as far as our product is concerned? Perception. When we talk of perception, it is ideally a process whereby we perceive things, how we look at a particular situation. When we talk of perception, how we look at a particular situation could be based on the knowledge we have, the information, the experiences, all aspects related to perception. We receive information in four stages. First and foremost, stimulation. When we talk of stimulation, we talk of sensory stimulation. For example, we decide to launch a product. So we have hoardings put up at prime places in Bombay. So when there's a hoarding put up, of course, it is at a location where people have easy access to see the hoarding. And that hoarding will have the product displayed. That hoarding ideally will have a punchline or a tagline. So ideally, the stimulation occurs through eye appeal. That means I saw the hoarding, I was wondering what the product is. Then, of course, the punchline was there, so it gave me an idea as to what it is. Then I talk of registration. It registered in my mind. That means it stayed there. The first step was through sensory stimulation. It was because it is visible to me. Then after registration, organization. For example, the hoarding had displayed a mobile phone. So I get all the ideas in my mind. If I want to purchase this new mobile phone, how is it better as compared to the other mobiles? What about the price? Is it equally expensive or is it affordable? Then you talk of interpretation. That means what, according to you, you interpret. That means what is the outcome? Because you've got all the ideas, they're registered in your mind, you have ideas put forward in an orderly manner, and then you interpret. Stimulation occurs when something is noticed. So I gave you the example of the hoarding. And to be noticed, it must first be perceived. How you think of it to be, in terms of the way the product looks, in terms of, say, the price, in terms of the various features which it provides. So we talk of the word perceived. Interpretation gives a new meaning to the stimulation based. That means somewhere through the eye appeal, when I actually come to interpretation as the fourth stage, I have a clearer picture or an idea as to what is beneficial if I purchase this product or what is not beneficial if I don't purchase a product. We develop habits of certain ways of perceiving and understanding facts to which we are exposed. Yes, our thought processes, facts, ideas, suggestions very often are related to an external world. That means the knowledge which I have, the experience which I've had as far as, say, work is concerned, the various people I've interacted with in life. So all these aspects. Selective perception. The mind selects what will get through the four stages of perception. So certain ideas will not really go through. Certain ideas will be selected. The process of choosing what will get through these four phases is selective perception. That means the way I look at a situation. Finally, after the four stages, what stays on my mind and the manner in which I've interpreted, that is what is selective perception. We take in stimuli from the world by seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, and tasting. That is why sensory stimulation. Relevance is partly determined by how well the new information fits with what is already known. I will have certain ideas and views. Say if I want to purchase a mobile, I have certain ideas and views as to what I want. But when I read, when I keep myself updated with information, when I probably go through the website, then I would get in more information. The incoming message is judged according to how close or how far it is from the beliefs of the person receiving the message. Now, say I have certain ideas and views since I want to purchase a mobile. Ideas and views about as far as the features of the mobile are concerned. I read more, I keep myself updated with information, and I realize that there are various aspects if I purchase this new mobile. So, what does it mean ideally? That means what I've exactly wanted in terms of the features. It is there as far as purchase of this new mobile is concerned. How do I get to know this? Because ideally I did a lot of reading, I updated myself, and it's also because these ideas were somewhere on my mind. So that's what we mean when we talk of how close or how far. That means somewhere, if my thought processes which are there, that means what I've interpreted, what I've comprehended, that is not matching with the information which I've just been updated with, then it can create differences in thought process. Because on one hand, I have few selected thought processes. On the other hand, there is more and more information coming to me through a lot of reading. Then the thought processes may vary. So it is extremely important that when we talk of information, ideally, information along with the information being updated should be a part of each other. Organization. The mind organizes by other methods like enlarging. What do I mean by enlarging? I have various ideas in my mind, but I've got few more effective points to actually get a clear picture as far as this new mobile is concerned. Simplifying. As the word suggests, you ideally explain in a manner which is easy to understand. Filling in gaps. When we talk of filling in gaps, illustrated by the mind's tendency to see a triangle in three dots. So if there are three dots, it's filling in the gap. So a triangle. Simplifying includes summarizing and relating to previous knowledge. I simplify it. That means all what I've read or seen or heard, I ideally can put it as a summary. Interpreting. The interpretation and response depends on gender, age, occupation in life, physical state, and so on. No two people have the same perceptions. Every individual has a unique perception filter, which influences the person's perception. That means when you talk of how I perceive a situation and how you perceive a situation, the mental filters will differ. We could be discussing a common problem, but we could have varied solutions to it. The solution which you put forward is absolutely different from the solution which I put forward. But as long as the purpose is served, that's what is considered important. We wind up with chapter 10. Thank you very much.